This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's growing now. Stop.
It is the top of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you along with us, but sad to be reporting that the Queen of Soul has passed at the age of 76. Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, whose recordings of such classics as Respect and Chain of Fools made her the first female artist to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, died Thursday of advanced pancreatic cancer. As I said, she was 76 years old, died in her Detroit home at 9:50. This morning, one of the family members stated, it's one of the darkest moments of our lives. We're not able to find the appropriate words to express the pain in our heart, the singer's family said in a statement to the Associated Press. We've lost the matriarch and rock of our family. The love she had for her children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and cousins knew no bounds. The family added, according to Fox News, that we've been deeply touched by the incredible outpouring of love and support that we've received from close friends, supporters, and fans all around the world. Thank you for your compassion and prayers. The Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, passes at the age of 76 this morning. That is being reported by Fox News. Tom Kelly joins us now. Tom is the president and CEO of ID Experts, a Portland, Oregon-based provider of data breach and identity protection services. Tom, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, I want to talk to you about why America needs to catch up on cryptocurrency and its security risk. Cryptocurrency has, been happily moving along and making inroads here, but you say be cautious.
Absolutely. I guess the backdrop of all this is something that we're all too familiar with, is that the constant undermining of our digital world through hacks, through other kinds of penetration into our privacy, other kinds of penetration into what we thought was secure information, just how we conduct our daily lives and the way the digital world, either knowingly or unknowingly to us, can turn ourselves upside down. And that's really kind of the backdrop of all this. Mm. Cryptocurrencies, the one that we're most familiar with is Bitcoin, have made, you're right, tremendous headway. They've made headway in all kinds of legitimate ways, but they've made headway in all kinds of illegitimate ways, too, and how that the dark web and some of the dark places where digital information and other kinds of information are exchanged and stored and purchased. We've had all kinds of hacks and all kinds of ways that the digital currencies have been stolen and moved around, and with all the benefits that you get from the anonymous act, attributes for being able to conduct business securely or do something securely and without in privacy, it brings with it the flip side of that.
Exactly.
The dark side of what they bring.
And of course, we've seen some of the dark side, like you say, with some of these businesses being held hostage and paid off in cryptocurrency and bitcoins, right?
Absolutely. I mean, in my op-ed, I talk about a small example of a Massachusetts public school that was held up for ransom for looking for $10,000 worth of Bitcoin to get their systems back online at the public school. I mean, all the way down to that level, you think, here it is. That doesn't seem to be a high-level target. And as I told a company, a board that I was doing a discussion with the other day, when you're talking about hacking, You're not a target till you are.
Yes, exactly. And as you say, $10,000, $20,000, just enough to be innocuous, who they're able to hit with this. But then it's like it just vapor. This is really, kind of the wild frontier, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and it's, you know, that's an example of 10,000 you put down there. But there's there was a hack for a Japanese crypto exchange. Think of that as the equivalent of a stock exchange, a money exchange, a place right. where you would store your crypto coins. There's all kinds of different ways you'd look at it. But CoinCheck got hit for $500 million.
Wow.
They got hacked.
Tom Kelly is with us. We got to go to a break. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Stay with us.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Track. Bill Martinez live.
It's what we're committed to as we continue to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. Bill Martinez here at 6 minutes after. Tom Kelly is with us, president and CEO of ID Experts, who argues that America's leadership falls behind its foreign competitors in handling digital threats, specifically in shaping domestic and international regulations surrounding cryptocurrency. Tom, you think of all people, you know, the United States of America, we're the leader in so many ways. Why are we so behind on cryptocurrency?
I think we're still trying to figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want to be, where does it fall? Is mm-hmm. it a security? You know, is it literally a security that you'd look at like the SEC looks at the trading of stocks and bonds? Or is it a currency which mm-hmm. where we rely upon Treasury and the Fed to kind of look at how that gets managed. So I think we first have to get comfortable with where it sits. And, of course, we know we use these cryptocurrencies for, you know, mediums of exchange, just like you would the dollar or the euro or any other currency, and a store of value. You know, you store value there. But that last part, the store of value, since it's this underlying, it's a virtual currency,
mm-hmm.
you know, currencies are traditionally backed up by the underlying economy.
Right.
So what backs up the cryptocurrency, you know, with its ability to be stolen, the crazy fluctuations in value based on speculation, you know, that store of value, that's yet to be determined, in my mm-hmm. opinion, over time. But given all the uses of the cryptocurrencies for illicit activity and for even licit activity, mm-hmm. we just simply don't understand it well enough. And
right.
we need to get there was a late night talk show host, I forget it, I think it might have been John Oliver, who made the joke that cryptocurrency is everything, it's a combination of everything we didn't know about money with everything we didn't know about computers.
that's all encompassing. And so who's taking advantage of this? You know, as you said, this is equal opportunity, but I got to imagine something as anonymous as cryptocurrency, that there could be a lot of bad players in this field.
Well, but many believe that North Korea is mining cryptocurrency to support their government. I know that Venezuela has got, we know that Venezuela is, with their collapsing economy, they're launching a cryptocurrency based on the petrol, based on, you know, their oil.
Mm-hmm.
Iran is trying to launch one. So whenever your fundamental other security, your other currency, either becomes defunct or non-functional, you know, cryptocurrency starts providing an interesting outlet. And if you look mm-hmm. at places where the currency is kind of dramatically imperiled, It's places where there's not a free economy, there's not a robust economy. That is oftentimes the case.
Mm-hmm. What about money laundering? I would think that this would be an opportune element.
Money laundering, because of course the anonymous nature of it. It's all based on this concept of, this concept of blockchain, which underlines cryptocurrency, and blockchain is, I don't want to oversimplify it, but it's nothing more than it's kind of based on the database concept, but every transaction is verified and secure and anonymous and contained in that individual transaction. So therefore, there's some very secure ways to move money around, move cryptocurrency around, and also ways to convert that into dollars, euros, whatever other maybe freely traded currency is.
Well, Tom, last time you and I talked, we talked about America needing to catch up on cryptocurrency. So then and now, where are we?
Well, we're still needing to catch up. There is a task force that has already been a government task force out of Treasury that they've established this working group to kind of study cryptocurrency, and that's a good start. But, the first place you got to go is you got to understand what you're dealing with. And I feel pretty conversant in the space, but I'm certainly no expert on exactly how cryptocurrency is mined. How it's created? How do you actually create new Bitcoin? So right. We need to understand exactly the methodologies that are being used to create the cryptocurrencies, how they support, how it moves. And there's a way to look at this, I think, without destroying the secure nature of exchanging value and the secure nature of keeping some level of anonymous activity. There's a line there. How far are we allowed? Should we be allowed to be anonymous in our activities? We all will have different opinions on that, but at the very least, we need to understand that better in the United States, because it's going to become a core part of our. This thing is not going away.
That's the thing. I mean, when it first came on the scene, people kind of poo-pooed it. Bitcoin, what is that about? What does it stand for? There was just so much mystery around it, in part and parcel to the anonymity, which gave it, made it attractive for different players to be involved with. And here we are, and you go, that was going to be my next question. Is it here to stay?
Well, I'm sure a lot of people can debate that, but even the head of the IMF, Christine Lagarde, she says that she thinks virtual currencies could give a real core existing monetary systems a run for their money. And
well,
no question about it.
And Starbucks now is using it, right? So here it is. I mean, if Starbucks is using it, I mean, this is starting to bring again. It's starting to come into the mainstream here. It would lead you to believe that yes, there's a future and gold in them dar hills.
There's no question, and in my personal opinion, is it's here to stay. It's not going away. And so if something is here to stay and not going away, we better understand it, and we better understand how it fits into making our lives better and not be fitting into a way that undermines our lives.
So is this just going to, in a sense, as consumers, kind of like Starbucks, all of a sudden it's an app and it happens this way, and instead of now supplying your app in dollars, you're going to be doing it in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency of some sort, and feel like, because for me, I'm still trying to get my brain around it as well, and it just seems still a bit nebulous.
Well, we pay for things with PayPal. We pay for things for all kinds of things where you never see the underlying currency. There are places now where you can't use cash.
Right.
Remember, it used to be you'd walk in and say, hey, do you take credit cards here? Now there's places where, in fact, you can't use cash.
Right.
So, this is another cashless, or I would say another form, just another emerging digital transaction basis that is here. So you're right. Starbucks is a terrific indicator that this is likely here to stay. And when it's likely here to stay, we better understand it. We better understand how it fits in.
Well, to your point about not using cash, we were in New York several months back and found ourselves in a cafe, and we just want a cup of coffee and a Danish and, you know, really simple. The whole deal, they said, well, our computer's not working. And you go, okay, well, how about we just give you cash, you know? We even give you more cash, you know, we'll just, you know, and call it a day. Uh-huh. No, we can't provide anything. So here it is. They got all this coffee, got all the food, computer's not working, and we get bupkis. And they lose business.
That is when they, you know, this is probably politically incorrect to even say that. That's when you say the old phrase used to be the lunatics have taken over the asylum now. Really, but seriously, that's when, in fact, you're saying something's really not right.
Well, it's because lunatics' lives matter. I'm telling you. This is what it's come down to, Tom Kelly. Good stuff here. Thanks for the update. Appreciate the information. Tom Kelly on Bill Martinez Live.
Terrific. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
This is Jessica Armand, founder of My Magic Mud. Our team helped organize a successful effort to remove fluoride from our city's water supply. This is our passion. My Magic Mud Oral Care purifies and brightens your smile naturally. GCN listeners, please support my family business by purchasing our product from your local health food store. We're also available at CVS Pharmacy. Or visit us at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off now with coupon code GCN10.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Well, our next guest is most deserving of an extended musical intro, Michael W. Smith.
Send your emails direct, NSA free, to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
I'll tell you, it's just an incredible worship album. Michael's been rather busy, and you know, there's nothing like doing this a big, you know, intro, and we're, you know, having this is the nature of live radio. Sometimes is that sometimes we have to wait. But of course, Michael W. Smith, a little bit of background: multi-platinum artist, best-selling author, acclaimed actor. He continues to live out his dream as he releases new music regularly. Just released. I mean, it's incredible. I don't know of another artist that ever released two albums, you know, back to back with Surrounded, which is a you know, many people are saying this is probably his best worship album, and I think there's been so many others, because Michael is very hard. Michael W. Smith is very hard. He's a worshiper, and so I don't know how you can come and say that this is by far the best, but it, certainly it is extraordinary and is such a blessing to believers. And so he releases Surrounded, and then A Million Lights right out, and then we have One for the Kids, Lullaby. Michael W. Smith, you just haven't been busy enough, buddy. I think we got to get you a job or something, and then now you're doing movies. Are you
crazy?
Here? I know, it's crazy good. I was just bragging, I did this big intro, we did this collage of your music and everything like that, and there's nothing like doing a big intro, and having been in the radio business and you know, been, you know, the one to MC and introduce an artist, there's nothing like doing this big opening, and then all of a sudden, it's like, the curtain's open, he's not coming out.
Where is he? Well, I apologize, I'm so sorry I missed my entrance.
Well, it's okay. It was a grand entrance, and we blessed everybody with you know, some of your music, and especially, you know, I was bragging you up on the new Surrounded, especially. Michael, I got to tell you, I've always just appreciated your heart of worship. I mean, you are such a gift to people of faith because of your connection with God and the way you express it.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's a gift. I'm grateful. I'm humbled by the whole thing. I don't know why I got picked. I feel a bit unqualified, but thank God he qualifies the unqualified. So,
amen.
I love it. It's what I'm made for. And, you know, I love to lead people into the presence of God. It's just a fact.
Yeah, you do that. I know that some people have commented in Million Lights, it was a little bit different. And I was, you know, I've been in the radio business for a long time, and I don't recall another artist releasing albums simultaneously as you did. Rather unique that you released Surrounded and A Million Lights at the same time. But I still hear your heart. I mean, your wiring is worship. And even though Million Lights, some have suggested not necessarily, I go, but yes, necessarily, because that's who Michael W. Smith is.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think worship is 24/7.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it is. It's just, you know, it's interesting that we equate worship with just songs, you know, yes, what we do on Sunday morning, and it's just so much bigger than that. And, you know, the Million Lights thing was just, you know, there's so many things that I want to say that you can't say in a worship song. You know, there's got to be artists that talk about what's going on in our country, what's going on with the you know, the opiate thing, the kids commit suicide. It's like, are we just going to sing worship songs and not address those kind of things? And
exactly.
So, you know, honestly, the A Million Lights was honestly inspired by the election. And it didn't have anything to do with politics, but it sort of, I saw the worst come out on both sides of the aisle. And and I thought, gosh, we're better than this. Come on. And
really?
The very first song I wrote was Revolution. And then after that, I couldn't hit record quick enough, and I just started getting inspiration to for things that I wanted to talk about to address the issues that's going on in our world. And then obviously surrounded it with a vertical thing, and to release them back-to-back weeks was a little insane, but I did it.
Leave it to you. Only Michael W. Smith would do something like this, but it is awesome. And, of course, then you got Lullaby, too, you know, that's out as well. Give us a little summary on Lullaby.
I've always wanted to do a children's lullaby record, and I've always wanted to write a children's book. I mean, I have for years, and you know, I thought about it for years, and kept thinking, oh gosh, I'm on tour with Andy, or I'm doing this record, and I kept thinking, one day I'm going to do it, and it was like, this is 2 years ago, I'm laying in bed, one of my 14 grandkids is laying in bed with me, I had two of them on either side, and I started reading them a book. And then all of a sudden, it just popped in my head, going, "I think it's time to write that book. I think it's time to do that lullaby record." Because I started writing lullaby melodies for my grandkids, so it just was the right timing, you know. And and being able to collaborate with Mike Nowracki, I don't know if you remember who Mike is, but he was Larry the Cucumber.
Yes, right.
Yeah. So he has so much, you know, expertise in that world of all his work doing that, and so we teamed up together and put these things together, and I'm really excited about it. It's called The 99 Goodbye. We've got three adorable characters, Eddie Bear, Sandy Lanny, and Sleepy Puppy.
Oh, very cool.
It's all about getting your kid to sleep. How about that?
I'm telling you, we're giving our audience an extra bonus because we also want to talk, of course, the movie that you have an appearance in. You play a pastor, Beautifully Broken. Tell us about this movie that's opening up nationwide next week, August the 24th.
Remarkable story. Absolutely so compelling. You know, I read a lot of stuff. I turn most of it down. I can't find much that I really like. But this story captivated my heart. And really about three families, you know, and one of those families was a family who barely escaped the genocide in Rwanda. And that father and husband ended up in Nashville, Tennessee, my hometown, and how that family intertwines with a white family from America, how there's a compassion kid in the middle of all that, and just tragedy. I'm talking about heartache and how God turns it for good. And it's just, you can't make this stuff up.
No, it's a true story, right, Michael?
It's a true story. That's what's so compelling, that this thing really did happen. So I have a small role, but, you know, I got a call from the director who told me he always wanted to work with me, and I said, well, I'd love to work with you, but I wanted to hear the story. And when I read the script, I called and I said, absolutely, I would love to be a part of it. And so we're very excited. So thanks for making some noise about it. I think it's great timing too, just with everything going on in our country, and to see these different cultures and these families just love each other and walk in forgiveness and reconciliation is very, very powerful.
Well, as you say, Michael, that, you know, we've become very inward focused as a society. And I've always felt through my experience with God is that the best cure for inward focus is outward focus. When we start serving, and of course, your heart has been tied with Compassion International for many, many years. So you get this is tied into the movie as well, right?
Yes, it is. And there's a compassion kid who got sponsored by this family from, and how that kid somehow intertwines with the family to escape genocide, and how you think the family from, you know, the family from America is really ministering to the compassion kid, and then you watch this. I want to give it away. Watch him, what happens to this with this family and this girl in Rwanda ministering to a white teenage girl who's been very, very horrible. horrible tragedy. It's just incredible. I love how God works. So
we got to leave it right there. Get ready for Beautifully Broken in theaters on August the 24th. Michael W. Smith, God bless you. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Car's engine deals with pressures that can cause intense friction that can
waste up to 10% of engine performance.
Power up with Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology. It's 3 times stronger than leading oils against viscosity breakdown. Buy 5 quarts of Castrol Edge and a Purolator Boss filter for $32.99 at Advance or participating CarQuest auto parts stores. 3 times stronger based on Kurt Orban test. 5W30 is great.
Right now at Kohl's Friends and Family Sale, take an extra 20% off. With an extra 20% off, new LC Lauren Conrad denim is $29.59. New Balance shoes are $55.99. And Sonoma Goods for Life bath towels are just $7.19. Plus, everyone gets $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent right now at Kohl's. Select styles. 20% offer valid August 16th through 19th with promo code FRIENDS. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news, as the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, has died at 76.
You're no good, heartbreaker.
The Grammy-winning singer had reportedly been battling cancer, and just days ago, her family was asking for prayers for her, disclosing that she was being cared for at her home by hospice. Her music spanned several genres, including gospel, jazz, soul, pop, and R&B. Again, Aretha Franklin has died at 76. They heard closing arguments yesterday. Now the bank and tax fraud case against President Trump's former campaign chief, Paul Manafort, is in the hands of the jury. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez live.
This is your time, your moment. Don't fight your moment. You come so far, keep going.
Fresh and independent every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon, Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We're back with you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Catherine Casey is joining us, an award-winning journalist, the author of 11 true crime books, and the critically acclaimed Sarah Armstrong mystery series. Ann Rule has called Casey one of the best in true crime genre. Library Journal chose her book, The Killing Storm, as one of the best mysteries of 2010. Catherine Casey, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
You know, I'm fine. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thank you for coming on the show. First of all, let me ask you, you know, what has drawn you to the true crime genre?
You know, I think it's the psychology. I think I'm curious about why these things happen and, you know, what kind of forces move in people's lives that they end up doing these horrific crimes. I've just always been curious about, you know, what drives people, what the motivation is.
Mm-hmm. And so you even as a child, you had an early interest and was always asking the why question, huh?
You know, I really was. I guess I'm really nosy, actually.
I guess that's one way to put it, but, you know, this is why inquiring people want to know. I mean, ultimately, right?
Yeah, well, you know, these are things that we can't imagine, most of us can't imagine ever doing, or anybody we know ever doing. So it's a real curiosity. And the other thing is, I think if you understand what drives people and why these cases happen and why these terrible events take place, you have some kind of a chance of stopping them. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get the word out about domestic abuse and other issues that lead to these types of crimes.
Right. Does it also point a little bit to, I guess, you know, we're all human beings. I mean, we could all, you know, be, you know, given the right circumstances, maybe, you know, get unhinged and, you know, like you say, there's things to learn maybe about ourselves in maybe the worst way possible that this could happen, but for the grace of God, maybe.
You know, I think that's true for a lot of us. And, you know, I get letters all the time from people who have read my books, and they'll say, you know, I saw myself or I saw my significant other in somebody in the book, and I realized that we were in a really dangerous situation. And, you know, we went out and got counseling, or I ended the relationship. And it's good for us to go into relationships with our eyes wide open, and we often don't.
Well, and I think to your point, Catherine, is that we find ourselves, you know, because we think, well, we condition ourselves to think maybe it's not as bad as we think. And whereas maybe some of our friends would say, you know what, you guys are unhinged. You need help. I mean, like right now. And you think, well, maybe it's not that bad, but it really is. And until, like you say, in some cases where people say, wow, you know, I was able to see myself in this character or see this, you know, in your book, and, you know, I needed to do something about it, as opposed to thinking somehow, you know, it's going to get better or somehow it's not as bad, right?
You know, that's true. I think it's always easier to see what's wrong in someone else's life than it is to really analyze our own.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's painful, and we tend to push it to the back and try not to think about it. But there, you know, in all of the cases I've covered, really, there have always been those red flags that were ignored. And, you know, you look back and you say, well, of course, you know, this happened. Look at the history. Look at what the psychology of these two people. But, you know, the people involved in it at the time don't see it unfolding.
Yeah, we just get kind of conditioned to it. It's like that, like they always use that analysis of the frog in boiling water. It didn't start out boiling. It was all very casual and comfortable. And, you know, the heat just got turned up little by little. And next thing you know, you're being boiled in it. And, you know, I guess this is all part of the, you know, process that we deal with. I wanted to talk to you about this story, a true story out of Texas, about a woman's marriage, you know, to a dangerous psychopath, and the title, Evil Beside Her. Tell us about that.
Well, it's really quite a bit like the cases we were just talking about. This is a woman, young woman, who fell in love with a man that she met through a family member, and he appeared to be the perfect match for her at the time. And there were all of those signs were there. Linda Bergstrom, you know, had kind of a difficult childhood. Mm-hmm. She grew up in a house with a very, very controlling father, and it had kind of prepared her to not be able to see the danger in you know, ending up with that kind of a man. She met a guy named James Bergstrom, and he, you know, looked like just the perfect guy. He was very religious, didn't want to have sex before marriage because it violated his, you know, his
Christian principles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and he was very shy. He would blush, you know, at the telling of a dirty joke. Mm-hmm. He just seemed like this great guy. And, you know, there were signs there from the very beginning. He would become angry. He would become overly angry at times. But Linda ignored them.
Right.
And fell in love.
Wow. But what an extreme, though. You have somebody who's shy on one hand, and then next minute, you know, can have a trigger response, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it would be a lot easier if the bad people walked around with something tattooed across their forehead, hey?
Right.
but they don't. And sometimes people hide behind different, you know, behind different faces. And
exactly.
The face that James Bergstrom had was of this shy, religious man who absolutely adored Linda Bergstrom.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, Linda Martinez.
Yes, right, exactly. No relation, by the way. But still, sadly, so here it is. And maybe for her, a part of the attraction, like you said, you know, a very strict upbringing, father overbearing, that sort of situation. So she was almost set up from that situation to be vulnerable to a James Bergstrom.
You know, this happens a lot. There have been studies about this, and it's not unusual for people to pick up on psychological triggers in the other person. And Linda was kind of groomed by what had happened with her father. Her father would make the kids sit on the couch for long periods of time and not be able to get off. They had to be very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were a lot of things that she talked about with her father that were very disturbing. And James, when he started laying down the law and telling her what to do and how to act and how to dress, well, Linda took that almost as a sign of his love in the beginning.
Oh, wow.
He was acting toward her the way that, you know, her father had acted toward the family.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't see the red flags.
Uh-huh. And during the courtship, none of this came out, right?
You know, it didn't. There were instances where she'd become concerned about something, but never enough to break it off. She loved James,
mm-hmm.
and she was convinced that he loved her, and they were planning a future together. He'd had a job working in a factory, in a paint factory in Houston, and he joined the Navy
mm-hmm.
and was, you know, commissioned to go out on go for training and then go out on a nuclear sub.
Wow.
And she had come from very modest beginning and saw this as really moving up in the world. She was excited when they were stationed in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
To her, this was all a grand adventure.
Well, especially as a Navy officer's wife, you know, and I can say this in my experience, being a former Marine and growing up around Navy officers in California, it's a bit of a caste system, to where you can see that if you haven't been exposed to that and you step up and you're, you know, part of that, you know, that structure and honor for officers, it can be, you know, a bit addictive, can it?
It certainly can, and Linda was delighted. She was really looking forward to that part of their life together.
Well, we're going to talk about some of these suspicions, these initial suspicions about James that Linda experienced as our conversation continues with Catherine Casey. Her book, Evil Beside Her, The True Story of a Texas Woman's Marriage to a Dangerous Psychopath, right here on Bill Martinez Live.
Engine deals with pressures that can cause intense friction that can
waste up to 10% of engine performance.
Power up with Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology. It's 3 times stronger than leading oils against viscosity breakdown. Buy 5 quarts of Castrol Edge and a Purolator Boss filter for $32.99 at Advance or participating CarQuest auto parts stores. 3 times stronger based on Kurt Orban test. 5W30 is great.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent and the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
right now at Kohl's Friends and Family Sale. Take an extra 20% off with an extra 20% off. New LC Lauren Conrad denim is $29.59. New Balance shoes are $55.99. And Sonoma Goods for Life bath towels are just $7.19. Plus, everyone gets $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent right now at Kohl's. Select styles. 20% offer valid August 16th through 19th with promo code FRIENDS. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, a conversation with Catherine Casey continues. Her book, Evil Beside Her, The True Story of a Texas Woman's Marriage to a Dangerous Psychopath. At first, Linda Bergstrom's marriage to her husband, James, was idyllic. They were young and in love. He was about to enter the Navy, and she was eager to start a family, but it wasn't long before that the dream exploded. James became abusive and violent, prone to sudden bursts of anger, long silences, and unexplained disappearances. But Linda vowed to hold on despite the pain and fear and her disturbing suspicions about her husband's secret life. Catherine, before the break, we started to talk about some of these signs that started to show up. And tell our audience, what Linda was starting to endure.
Well, James was becoming progressively more abusive toward her. He was physically abusive. He threw things at her. He punched her. They started having very bad arguments. But there were other things, too, in their lovemaking. He became increasingly controlling. He started tying her up.
Oh, wow.
But she thought, well, maybe this was some kind of fetish. And, you know, if he enjoyed it and it was good for their relationship, she put up with it. But then he would do things like tie her up and leave. Leave her tied up on the bed and then, you know, come back. And he didn't seem to understand why she was so angry. There were things going on in the marriage at the time. They were living in Washington State. He was out on a submarine quite a bit of the time. And when he would come back, he didn't like the sub. He was complaining about it. He wanted to get out of the Navy. And their relationship kind of started to quake a bit. and, well, a lot, actually. And then, you know, she started wondering what he was doing. She saw him peeping in a window at a woman. And it wasn't long after that when the police arrested James. And said that he was the man who had been in all over the papers as the serial rapist in the area that they lived in.
Oh, wow. Wow. So so was there were the police brought in on a domestic violence issue at all, or was she just so afraid that his commission as a Navy officer would be compromised?
Well, she didn't want to compromise the situation at all. She kept thinking that they could save the marriage. They were trying to have a child together. She was, she loved their life, you know, in many ways. But she was, as we were talking about earlier, it's like baby steps. She put up with one thing, and she put up with the next thing. And then the police knocked on the door. They were not called in because of a domestic violence situation. James had been caught near a place where the rapist had tried to break into a home.
So he was casing the home or something, huh?
Yeah. He had he'd been casing the house. So he was taken in, and the Navy moved in and took over and moved him into the hospital, brought him into the Navy hospital. Linda would later say that James told her that he confessed everything to the doctors there. But the doctors, instead of treating him, discharged him and sent them back to Houston. At that point, Linda was pregnant after they had tried so hard.
It
was a cruel joke that at that point she was pregnant. And he threatened her and told her that if you divorce me, if you leave me, I will have visitation with our child. And she knew she was carrying a daughter.
Oh, wow.
So she stayed with them for a long time in order to protect the daughter. But she started her own campaign to try to get him stopped. And that went on for a very long time.
How old did the child become as she was going through this campaign and still remaining with the, you know, with the father?
It took a full 2 years. It was excruciating. She was Linda was calling 911. She knew that James, when he moved back to Texas, he was in Houston at the time. She felt certain that he was still out attacking women. He even bragged about it at times and said, "Oh, no one will believe you. There's nothing you can do." And she tried in her own way to control him, but she couldn't. James was out of control. So it went on for a couple of years, and that entire time she was calling 911 in Houston and saying, "My husband is James Bergstrom. He got picked up, you know, on suspicion of being a serial rapist in Washington State. I know he's attacking women here." And nothing that she saw was ever done. It took a long time for anyone to believe her.
So what happened? What was the final break?
Well, she got a police officer in the sexual assault unit at HPD to first listen to her. But he didn't move forward to it. But then a couple of other cops down here really started looking into it. And she gave them information, and they called Washington State and verified that James was the prime suspect in a series of rapes up in Washington State. And
he was never prosecuted for that, right, in Washington State?
No. In Washington State, they didn't have enough to go after him. Linda, at that point, didn't know what was going on for sure. She couldn't help them. And so he was released. And then, as I said, the Army just sent him to Texas.
Or the Navy.
They wanted to get rid of the Navy, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They wanted to get rid of James. I mean, he was a problem, you know,
of
that
course.
They didn't want. So they sent him to Texas, and his behaviors just continued down here. During that 2 years, he attacked 35 women in the Houston area.
Wow.
He actually raped five of them, at least five of them. And he was becoming progressively more violent. In the beginning, he was almost apologetic breaking into the houses. But then he was, started showing up with a knife, and then it was a gun. And he was tying the women up, and he was staying in their homes for a long period of time. He raped one woman with her toddler in the room.
Oh.
I mean, it was just atrocious. The last woman was a 17-year-old cheerleader, high school cheerleader. She actually did fight him off, but he threatened to kill her. So he was on a really dangerous path and was becoming progressively more violent. And Linda, in the meantime, was more and more frightened and trying to stop him. And it took every ounce of her courage to stay with us.
Can you imagine, Catherine, you're living with somebody, and as your title of the book, Evil Beside Her. And, you know, this whole situation, and as violent as he was and brutal towards Linda, I mean, she's trying to survive in the midst of this, you know, hair-triggered personality that could go off and harm her or her daughter at any second, right?
Absolutely. Now, she tried very hard for a long time and, you know, really had no one to help her. No one believed her for a very long time. But if she left him, she was worried about her daughter, and she was worried about the women he was attacking. She knew that there were victims out there, and she really wanted to stop him. So she just kept at it. She kept calling and calling until she finally got these two officers who did believe her, and they started trailing him. And, you know, they were the ones who solved the case and arrested him.
Mm-hmm. So they arrest him and convict him, and then what happened?
He got four 99-year sentences, and in one of the cases, the woman fought him off, and that turned out to be a burglary charge because he had taken something from her apartment.
Mm.
And he went to prison. He's been in prison ever since. But the problem is that he's been eligible for parole off and on, and I've been fighting for a long time to keep him in prison. I'm convinced that James Bergstrom was a serial killer in the making. He was, as I said, he threatened to murder, to kill the last woman. He was very much into control. He had all the signs. You know, at his trial, the psychiatrist who'd been hired by the defense testified that he was a dangerous psychopath. Yeah. And that there really wasn't any way to cure him.
Catherine, how's this for you? I mean, you're a writer of this story, as you've written on, you know, many crime stories that you've reported on. You know, to be this involved, to find yourself involved legally against Bergstrom's parole.
Well, I've never done this before. I haven't done it with any of the other cases.
Right.
I just felt certain that this man should not be out, you know, from behind prison bars. I mean, we don't need him on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And I did interview him extensively over a period of a couple of months, and while he was in the county jail here.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me he was out of control. He told me that he couldn't stop it. He was obsessed with what he was doing. He was stalking and tracking women and looking for vulnerabilities, and you know, I knew he'd do it again. You know, Bill, I just knew he'd do it again.
Yeah, you can see the process, as you say. You've written about this. You've studied it enough to know that you know, there's you know, barring some miracle, there wasn't going to be any redemption. I mean, it was with each step, as you said, it was accelerating and getting more and more violent. Catherine Casey has been our guest. Her book, Vuelta, it is a compelling story, to say the least. A true story that she writes about here, and available at all the usual places, right, Catherine?
It is, yes. Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you so much, Catherine Casey. I'm Bill Martinez Live, Evil Beside Her.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com. and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Daigle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Are you a